are listening to Ruminations Thursday on Law and Gospel here on Worldwide KFUO on this October the 22nd in the year of our Lord 2015. I'm one of your hosts, Tom Baker, but being Ruminations Thursday, we have with us our good friend, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. How you doing, Wes?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Pastor Baker?
I'm starting to catch up on sleep after that 1,000-mile trip I made to Preston, Kansas. That was fun.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, if anybody wants me to come out to their area, I've got a whole set of videos talking about Law and Gospel. Only too happy to do that. So just go to Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Let me know your interest. I'll get a hold of you and we'll kind of go from there. But it sounds like I'm going to be preaching this coming Sunday somewhere.
Yes, up in Lincoln, Illinois at Zion Lutheran Church. We have our Reformation service at 3 p.m. And then afterwards, you're going to do a PowerPoint for us during our Light Supper.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And we'll also have some items for sale at really reduced prices that we put in through our publishing company, Trellian Productions. So you're going to be there and kind of looking forward to do that, a Reformation. I'm going to be preaching on something I have never preached before on Reformation. So it's going to be kind of fun. I'm still preparing the sermon.
I hope it's on the Bible.
Oh, well, then send me your sermon, and I'll use that instead. We got to use the Bible?
Yeah.
No, I heard a sermon. I mean, the evangelical called it a sermon on that 1,000-mile trip I was on the radio. And he was just going through the apostles, and that particular sermon was all about Peter. There was no law and gospel. There was no mention of Christ and the crucifixion and the resurrection. It was just a historical story about Peter, which kind of leads us into what we want to talk about today with you. Yesterday, I talked about uncommonsensical Christianity, where I often will say, if you want to know how God thinks, think commonsensically, then kind of reverse it and you'll be close. Today, we're talking about commonsensical religion and Christianity. We're going to talk a little bit about Oprah Winfrey's new belief series. But do you have any comments to begin with?
I definitely would say that's probably a great point that we talk about, a little bit of Oprah Winfrey's belief system, because I caught a couple of the episodes. And yeah, I think as in terms of common man, I kind of broke it down into the three parts in answering what they're talking about as we go along.
Go ahead.
Well, it's the do and done religion. The do is you have to do something by faith through works, you know, merit God's favor, and you see that over and over played out in that series. Versus it's done through Jesus Christ. There's that point.
Before you go on, what you're saying is the commonsensical religion is always a do religion, always on the basis of some item you have to do, whereas Christianity is a done religion where there is no thing, no contribution, no cooperation that you make in order to be saved.
Right. And, you know, and probably one of the passages, there's a whole series of passages that we would use as Christians, like for instance, Romans 3, verse 20, because by the works of the law, no flesh is justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. You know, how many works you got to do before you really merit God's favor?
Yeah.
You know, it's a never-ending story.
Yeah, I was talking to a pastor yesterday, and he was telling me, this is very interesting what you just said, Wes, because I hadn't told you about this. He was telling me his technique for evangelism. Once he gets to know a person a little bit, he asks them this question. How many works do you have to do in order to be saved? And how they answer that tells him where they are in their Christian walk. And he told me of two people who did say, out of the hundreds he's talked to, they answer with none because Jesus Christ has done it all. But the majority of people do not say that at all.
Wow. And that's a big item when you watch the Oprah Winfrey series on beliefs. It's always some kind of religion that they're doing something, that they're trying to merit something before God.
Yeah, we'll get into Oprah in a little bit here. Why don't you give me points two and three?
Well, points two would be your old nature versus your new nature, which we see in baptism. The old nature, and I think you've said it well, is before in previous programs, is always the I that's in me. What's in my best self-interest versus the new nature, which our sins are drowned in our Lord Jesus Christ through baptism.
Yeah, I often say the center of sin is the letter I, and the center of pride is the letter I. And a commonsensical Christianity, it's all about I. It's all about me.
Right. And the third one, of course, this being the month of Reformation, and we're coming up to that week of Reformation, are the three solas, or the alones that we talk about. Word alone, faith alone, grace alone. Those are the only things that really work in our life. God's word alone, faith by grace through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I've come up with five solas because a lot of times they'll say scripture alone also, and then Christ alone.
Scripture alone.
Right.
And
Christ alone.
I like the Christ alone, but scripture alone would be the same as word alone, would it not?
Okay, good point. Yes.
Okay.
That's good. All right, so those were the three thoughts you came up with. And once you understand those, that kind of system of thinking, when you read the Oprah article, it's entitled An Exploration of Faith. And what she has is a number of television stories. She actually has 33 of them. And they talk about, and I think this is really important to understand, it's about traveling on a personal path of self-discovery, overcoming hate, grief, and loss, and celebrating love and friendship. Now, you can't get more commonsensical than that.
Well, of course not. And it's... You lead it off with self-discovery, which gets us back to the I in me.
In fact, here's the three questions that she tries to answer through your various religious traditions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what does this all mean for me? Not too much about Jesus in there.
No. No, it's all self-discovery process and a work process.
That's good. Self-discovery. Yeah, I'm going to use that one. A self-discovery through these various things. And in fact, you don't even have to have a religion. She even includes atheists. She talks about an atheist climber who finds meaning as he mounts a desert cliff in Utah without harnesses or ropes. Now, how is that finding meaning?
Well,
what does that mean?
But the only thing is, this is, I did something that I didn't do before, you know. And quite honestly, that could be somebody taking a tight jar to a jar of jelly in their household and unscrewing a lid that they never unscrewed before.
Yep. Marcia C. Nelson, for example, is an author. And you know what the title of her book is about Oprah? It's called The Gospel According to Oprah.
That would probably be an apt description of how she transforms religion.
Yes. For her, it's all about, and she won't understand this, of course, because it's a theological term, it's the theologian of self-glory. And I want to really stress that during this time, is that a commonsensical religion does have a source of information, but it's never, as you said, the word or the scripture. It's always nature and our experience.
I would agree with you, and that fits in with all three points that we talked about. It's a do, I do it.
Yep.
It's the old nature, it's the I in me, and the third is not the word alone.
Yeah, the very fact it's 7 one-hour episodes, and it sounds like they may be expanding this, but it one quote was, it's how people can resolve issues, now get this, by using religion as a source of solution, not only the cause of the problem.
Well, I would say that you could use religion as a resolution, but it has to be done in the done factor through Jesus Christ.
That's true, but then it's not commonsensical religion.
Well, yeah, that takes the element out.
Yeah, totally differently, and therefore this commonsensical religion, that's what they think. It doesn't really matter what you believe in this postmodern age. If it moves you to love other people and take care of them, then that's a good religion. And, you know, I'll bet you she's not going to have an hour on radical Muslims.
Yeah. You know, the other point we can make, we could probably make a fourth point. In that series, faith works, you know, faith does by the person, instead of faith receives through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't we be able to say that too?
Yes, faith is something that does rather than something that receives. And that's why, even among Christians, a lot of them have a commonsensical view. For example, they look at God and trying to get to heaven like trying to go to the next grade or getting a promotion. And how do you do that? You work harder. You show that you're worthy. And so your faith, therefore, is something God gives you in order that you can do something. So God looks at you and says, okay, you're ready to go to the next step. In contrast to faith, just realistically receiving the gift for no reason, no apparent reason at all.
Yeah, you're describing episode 3 of Acts of Faith, where in Mexico that had happened, where a lady was hoping to, by faith of a work of a pilgrimage, that Jesus would grant her request for healing for her son.
Oh, my. And so she went on the pilgrimage. That was her part to do in order that her son would be healed. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yes. And she gets there, and the healing doesn't happen. And then they twist it around in a way that, well, you know, Jesus didn't quite hear her prayer or decided that the faith she has is sufficient to continue on in her struggle with her son's illness.
See, this is a big point with commonsensical religion. They have an answer for everything. In contrast to uncommonsensical faith in Jesus Christ, where we simply don't know why God does what he does. I mean, putting his own son to death, and that somehow gets me to heaven, that makes no sense at all. And a lot of times in our own life experiences, terrible things happen, and often the common sense comes in us and says, what did I do to deserve this? And unfortunately, that's not at all what Christianity is about.
Right, and it's seeing that the real death is a life without Christ, and real life is found in baptism. So whether we live or whether we die, we live in the Lord Jesus Christ.
For example, one of the items that she gives is about a story of a pastor and an imam, you know, a Muslim in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. They were once enemies, and now they express their love for each other as they began to understand their religion. Now, I think if the Christian simply understood Christianity, he would love that imam, because our love isn't based on any obedience on the part of the other person or how they act. It's really based on Christ's love for us. So I don't need to know about somebody else's religion in order to love them. I may need to know about their religion in order to witness to them. But the fact of the matter, every religion in the world is similar in that it's a commonsensical religion based on our experience that the nicer you are, then the more nice things that are going to happen to you.
I would agree. Yeah, I think that's well said.
Well, what we have here, therefore, is a kind of a karma in almost all religions. And we're even hearing that among some Christian pastors. Rick Warren, for example, says that the reason you're not getting blessed is because you're not obedient enough. That's his part of his new reformation. Well, I don't want to have that God. Can you imagine having Rick Warren as your parent and you're a child and he doesn't bless you because you're not obedient enough? I don't know about others, but I tell you, Louise and I sure didn't have obedient children all the time.
Right.
They were well, wonderful children, but boy, oh boy.
It kind of reminds me of also in that Acts of Faith that they had this tower that they built in the South Pacific Islands, handmade tower of sticks and poles. And the natives, the men would jump off the tower with vines attached to their feet and narrowly escape death by not hitting the dirt head on.
They weren't jumping in the water?
No, they were. There was a muddy ground, kind of sloped down, and they kind of skin. If they hit it right, they would just skin along the muddy ground. And then the vines would jerk them back. And it was interesting that the guy that was the best of the village that did it said, you know, there was two things. He was hoping that God would, his faith in God would get him through. And secondly, that he cut the vine just the right length.
Boy, I tell you, I sure wouldn't want to have the wife cutting the vine.
No.
Well, we want to give you a little extra length just in case it, you know, won't break or whatever. Oh, I tell you. I see that here. It was actually a South Pacific ritual in which men, including a young boy, make a dangerous dive off a high tower of bark and vines in hope. Now, here's their hope, that if they make it, they get a successful annual harvest.
Yeah.
Now, if they don't make it, it doesn't matter if they have a successful or unsuccessful because they're not around.
Yeah, and what happens if they still have a good harvest? What
yes.
does that mean, you know?
Or they make it and they have a bad harvest.
They have a drought, yeah. It's commonsensical.
Yeah, I think this is a real critical thing to look at here, is that people really take a look at what makes them saddest. And therefore, they'll often do that in order to manipulate a God that is a wrathful God towards them. You see, it doesn't surprise me that in a number of religions, they will kill babies. Because normally, your child dying makes you very sad. So they think ahead and say, okay, if I want to get on God's good side, I need to do something where I'll be very, very sad and maybe he'll look at me and be nice to me, therefore. And so let's slaughter babies. Let's kill them. And they think, therefore, they're manipulating God because it makes them sad, and it's a way of worshiping, which is just the very opposite in Christianity.
You just described the mother who sent her son up 20 feet for his first die. She was describing, too, that she was happy to do that and was hoping that he wouldn't, but God would understand.
Yes. It's just amazing how commonsensical religion gets you to do things. You probably heard of this recent thing. It was just in the news where a mother participated in a church service in whipping and beating two of her sons because they wanted to leave the religion, and one of them died.
Ooh.
Yeah, it showed her being arrested. And then somebody was giving, you know, these people who just don't understand reality, they were giving a song and dance. Well, you know, this was a religion she had been brought up in, so we really can't blame her for doing this because she didn't know any different. And I'm thinking, yeah, let's use that with the radical Muslims who are killing Christians. I mean, they grew up in that religion. They don't know anything different. I'll bet you people aren't going to use that kind of reasoning to okay their actions.
I would agree. And it's back to our points. I mean, it's a new religion. It's also a religion of the old nature of the selfish eye that's there.
Yes. One of the things Oprah Winfrey said, and I found this kind of interesting, when she talks about as she gets up every morning, she just automatically says, thank you. But she doesn't say who she's saying thank you to.
That's right. Yeah, who's the thank you to?
Yeah, and it's just, she says, I've reached a point in my life where I actually pay attention to every breath, and my spiritual practice is that I awaken and the first thought is, thank you. See, this shows Christianity's truth that regardless of what God people have, by nature, you know there is a God. I mean, and nature can tell you that. I mean, anybody who thinks this universe came from evolution just doesn't have any understanding either of reality or of science.
Right, that would be Romans chapter 1.
Absolutely. And people can take a look at that, Romans chapter 1. And I'd also include Genesis chapter 1.
1, yes.
But there's no doubt that they know there's a God. But I just don't understand how rational human beings think that it doesn't matter which one you have, because the views that some of these gods have, all being idols, are just totally against proper human behavior.
Right. Well, you know, Paul describes it in Ephesians chapter 2, dead in your trespasses, which you formerly walked, and lived in the lust of the flesh and indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. I mean, the old nature just wars in that direction.
I think the Second World War with the Nazi soldiers show that a number of these had even attended Christian churches. But once they get under the authority of Satan, and that was through Hitler, they began doing things that they never would have normally done outside of being a Nazi soldier. And it just became second place for them. And that shows the commonsensical nature of religion that you find in the environment and in nature. And it will lead to nothing but sadness and murder.
I would agree with you. And, you know, I would encourage a Christian to watch that series. It gives them insight as to what other religions are teaching in that Oprah series. But I would say filter it through Ephesians chapter 2, 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not of yourself. It is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Our works follow the done religion. We don't do it to merit something, because that's already taken care of at the cross.
Would you, I would suggest a possible looking at it, but I would prefer that it be done kind of in a Bible study with a pastor pointing out things that could be missed, because the problem with commonsensical religion, it makes sense.
Okay. Well, that's a good point. I mean, we would do that up at Havana. They'd watch some TV series, and then we'd discuss it in Bible class.
Yes, yeah. I always enjoy doing that with youth confirmands. And we'd even watch advertisements, and they would have to figure out where is the trickery in the advertising, you know, to get you to buy something that has nothing really to do with the product, but is just working on your emotions.
And I would do that with confirmation with the rock songs, and say, bring them to class, and we'll take a look at what they're saying.
Yes. So this coming Sunday, we'll be with you. It's at 3 o'clock it begins. And once more, Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. And it's a worship service. How many congregations are being invited to this?
There's roughly 11 congregations of the Central Illinois District. It's about a 60-mile wide and about 20-mile wide, or 60 miles length wide, and about 20 miles wide circuit.
Boy, 11 congregations. And I understand when they heard that I was going to be the preacher that they're expecting at least 22 people.
Well, 23, I'll be there.
Oh, no, I counted you as one of the two from each guy. Hey, thanks so much, Wes, for helping out again.
Oh, great to be with you.
All right, next Thursday, hopefully, we'll be back, God willing, unless Judgment Day comes, which wouldn't be something we would disagree with, because then we'll really have a Bible study. But I'm Tom Baker. Thanks so much for listening. Tomorrow, Open Mic Friday, where you can call in with any theological question on your mind. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.